Natalie Andrews, and I'm the team vicar here across the Ely team, for those of you who haven't met me. And it'd be great to meet some of you after the service if we haven't met yet. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time to come together, to abide in you, to remain in you. And we pray now that you would speak to each one of us here and help us to go from this place, remaining in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At the beginning of this year, many of us set New Year's resolutions, but do they bear fruit that lasts? A few years ago, Cancer Research UK did a poll about New Year's resolutions. They surveyed 4,000 people and found that 1 in 11 people managed to keep their resolutions for the first 6 months. I can identify with that. At the beginning of a year, it's easy to commit to certain New Year's resolutions or goals. But will I have been successful in 6 months' time? Maybe you can relate to that as well. But the good news is we have a toolkit that helps us to bear fruit that lasts. So we can start this year knowing that we have all we need to lead fruitful lives. In that wonderful passage from John 15, we hear that beautiful analogy that Jesus is the true vine. His Father is the vine grower, the gardener, and we are the branches. We are promised that if we abide in Jesus and he abides in us, we will bear much fruit. To put that passage into context, it's part of the farewell discourses, the conversations Jesus had with his disciples in that upper room. If you remember, he had washed the disciples' feet as they had sat and shared the Last Supper together. And Jesus had predicted that Judas was going to betray him. Judas left going into the night, and the conversations between Jesus and his close friends continues. And the passage that we're focusing on this morning is part of that conversation and that preparing of his disciples for his earthly departure as he heads towards the cross. In this passage, he talks to his disciples about what their mission will be post-Easter. And Jesus speaks to us today as post-Easter people. He tells us what our mission strategy will be for 2016. Now, that all sounds very simple, doesn't it? But how might we ensure that in 6 months' time, we're still abiding in God, still remaining in God? Well, I think that this passage gives us some wonderful examples and answers as to how we might do that. And I've called them fruitfulness habits. Fruitfulness habits. The habits that we might form in our lives which will enable us to bear fruit that will last. Habits formed in union with Christ. So the first fruitfulness habit that I'd like to look at this morning is pruning. Now, I'm no gardener, but thankfully global warming tells me that the bulbs that I planted in August have been planted the right way up. But when it comes to pruning, I'm afraid I just chop. Or as Richard, my husband, will tell you, I invariably leave it to him. But people who are much better than me at gardening tell me that pruning is done to help the plant become its true self, to help the plant flourish, blossom, and be fruitful. So it really is a good thing to do. John 15:2 says, "He, as in the Father, removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit." So some branches the Father clears off, and some branches the Father clears up. It may be that Jesus is referring to Judas's betrayal in terms of the branch that is cleared off. Now, this sounds really harsh, but we can trust that God is God, and he knows what he's doing. It's not for us to judge who is on the vine or who is off the vine. God loves us so much, and he wants us to be our true selves. And because we're human, we're all on a journey, becoming more the people God has called us to be. None of us are perfect. So we need our Creator God, our Heavenly Father, to prune us so that we might glorify his name. But it's hard being pruned, isn't it? It can be really painful. I remember a time when I was going through a very tough pruning in my life. There was something that I really didn't want to deal with. I kept pushing it aside, pushing it inwards, and it kept coming back to bite me on the back. Eventually, I went for some prayer ministry and for some counselling, and I was able to deal with the issue more fully. Now, this need not sound daunting. It might sound daunting being pruned, but we can be assured that we have a good, good Father who is looking out for us, a Father who loves us so much that he wants the best for us. There are many good earthly fathers and many who aren't so good, but our Father is the perfect Father. He wants us to bear fruit that will last, and pruning will help us to do that. So I wonder, how might we trust God and be open to pruning this year, allowing it to become one of those fruitfulness habits for 2016? Perhaps it could be as simple as using something like the spiritual practice of the examine at the end of each day, spending a few minutes perhaps with a journal or a notepad, sifting through the events of the day, a lovely conversation with a friend, a frustrating encounter with the gas company, rushing out the house and tripping up, an encouraging word from a colleague. Perhaps writing these things down, helping us to become more aware of the things that bring us closer to God and those things that pull us away from God, which in turn can then help us to pray into them and to see which things need to be pruned in our lives. There's lots more information about the practice of the examine on the internet, but a really, really good website is Pray As You Go. On there you can spend 10 minutes listening to a daily meditation, but they also give you examples of the examine, so it's really worth a look. But I'm sure that you can think of other ways in which you can be open to the practice of pruning this year. Maybe it's taking time to come and pray with others in prayer ministry, to come and hand those things to God, those burdens, and pray with other people. Unlike New Year's resolutions, which are often done apart from God, these fruitfulness habits happen in relationship with God. So the second fruitfulness habit that this passage refers to is abiding. So we had pruning and now abiding. What good news we have that abiding in God bears much fruit. Living God's way shown to us in Scripture brings freedom and joy. The freedom and joy that we live out as Christians is very attractive to others. Before I became a Christian, I remember thinking to myself, why is that woman so joyful? About a Christian friend of mine. I thought, I really want what she's got. Now, it was easy for Jesus' disciples to remain in him when he was right next to them day by day. But Jesus is preparing them for his departure, assuring them that even though he won't be with them in earthly form, he'll be with them in the same intimate way. For he is the true vine, and we are the branches. We are that close to Jesus, and he to us. We are one body, and we all share in one bread. Jesus is intimately close to each of us, and as a church family, we are his body. And the Father is above all and through all, and through all of his body, through all of this church family, Christ's church. So we might remain in God, abide in Christ, by coming together as church, yet being sent out to serve the world's needs. We need one another to help us to abide in God. I'm sure that you're aware that the diocese have developed a strategy for growth, and it's called People Fully Alive. And you can find copies of it on the diocesan website. But one of the areas of focus within this strategy is nurturing a confident people of God. And we've used some of that for our vision as a church here, focusing on engage, grow, and deepen. The strategy document says that people grow as Christians partly by being drawn into patterns of prayer, worship, and fellowship, but also by having minds, hearts, and wills reshaped through service to the world. Abiding in God involves coming together as church, deepening our prayer lives, and then being sent out into the world. Presently, we're asking God to show us what the needs are of our community. We're spending time listening so that we might abide in the heartbeat of God, so that we might be moved by the things that move God, and we might join in and bear fruit. Bruce Milne says, in the work of mission, the church advances on its knees. In the work of mission, the church advances on its knees. So I wonder, how might we abide in God more this year? How might we listen to God rather than always asking? So we've had the fruitfulness habits of pruning and abiding. And finally, the last fruitfulness habit that I'd like to look at is loving. Christ can only draw others to Christ, but Christ is revealed when his people love one another. Often the root cause of not loving one another is fear. Fear of rejection, fear of losing our identity, fear of failure, fear of not having our needs met, fear of being out of control, etc., etc. But perfect love casts out fear. And as Jesus says to his disciples and to us today, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Jesus says all of this in full view of the cross. Love is the shape of the cross. We can have all the mission strategies in the world, but without love, we are nothing. When we love one another, we'll bear fruit that will last and that will raise the spiritual temperature of the church and of our community. So I wonder, how might we develop the fruitfulness habit of loving? What one thing could you do this week to be more loving? We've heard these three fruitfulness habits: pruning, being open to the opportunities God presents us for us to become more the people God has called us to be. Abiding, remaining in Christ by deepening our own spiritual lives as individuals and as the whole body of Christ, in order that we then might be sent out to bear fruit. And thirdly, loving, noticing where we can love one another more. Try not to be overambitious. Perhaps pick one thing from each area, and really don't worry if you fail. As Mother Teresa once said, "We're not called to be successful, but we're called to be faithful." So just keep coming back to God, time and time again. And as we deepen these fruitfulness habits into our lives this year, the fruit we will bear is one way in which Christ will glorify his Father. Such is the intimate, beautiful, hospitable relationship that we are embodied within. Amen. I'd now like to invite the